21. That's at the back of your Bibles, folks. Revelation chapter 21. Yeah, I sure glad we don't have religion today, folks, that we have to practice. Revelation 21. Let's look down at verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and all the gates at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And a length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third carlstone, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysopassus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it as it were transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is our home for the redeemed of the Lord during the church age. This is the bride's home. And the only ones in there are those that's whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I want to talk about our salvation and this Book of Life with you a while today. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, what a description of our home that Jesus went to prepare for those that would believe in Him. What an awesome sight. But even more wonderful is going to be to see the Savior that would love us so much. Praise God for the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, as I stand before these people today to give them your word to encourage and challenge. I pray in Christ's name. The Book of Life is also called the Lamb's Book of Life and is a record containing the names of those who overcome sin through accepting Jesus Christ. That is, they have been born again. And this morning, when we gather together for our assembly, the first song that Brother Junior had us to sing was "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." I said, Lord, how fitting that we're talking about the Lamb's Book of Life and those whose names are in that. And Faye whispered and said to me later this morning, are they really going to have roll call? I'll assume so. Amen. Question, why is not everyone's name in the Book of Life? Here's why. Because the names was put there before God even made the world. Did you know that? Our names was put there before He made anything. I want you to think about that now. Before you even come on the scene, He put whoever's going to be in heaven, their name in the Book of Life. And the reason that everybody's name is not there is because God gave man free will. God's not putting anybody anywhere they don't want to be. You get to choose. And since God is a God that knows everything and has always known everything, He never learns anything new and He never forgets, except He forgets our sin only. God knew who would accept His Son before He made the world. So today, have you accepted God's Son? You can choose to obey God or disobey God. God in His Word is telling everyone what the consequences of their choice will be. This book is telling you the consequences of your choice in life. God in His Word is telling everyone where they're going to spend eternity. What have you done with Jesus? Since God knows everything, He knows what the choice of each person already is. God told Adam what would happen if he ate the fruit from the forbidden tree. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, let's read that. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Listen to me. God made everything. It all belongs to Him. But he's telling the man, now you can eat from every tree, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of that tree. Don't eat from that tree, Adam. There's danger there. For in the day that thou, in the very day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he did die spiritually that day. And the process of physical death entered into his body. God warned. God gave him all those trees unrestricted on one to test Adam. And God does me and you the same way today. He's given us his word. How many times do we disobey his word? Because we are being tested as we journey in life to see if we'll obey God. And if we are saved one day at the judgment, it'll be determined how faithfully I serve the Lord, and so will I be rewarded. God blesses us today here as we live, but he rewards us when we get to heaven according to faithfulness. So Adam and Eve made their choice. Just like you and I make our choices today. You made a decision to come to church. How many of y'all was drugged to church today? Now, if you'll listen closely, you'll hear traffic outside. What's their decision? Not to go to church, right? People are making their choices. God's keeping a record. Amen? God's keeping a record. We have the Bible to teach us of God, and too often people ignore it. The book of life contains the names of those who will live with God forever in heaven. Is your name in the book of life? In Revelation 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We got a lot of people today that don't believe God will do that to anyone. We got a lot of people today don't even believe there's such a place. But there is. There is. God said to us, I believe it. I believe it. I don't have no doubt about it. It's scary to think about there is such a place. And I was just thinking this morning during our time together here, it crossed my mind about something had been said, and it prompted my thought. When people die without Christ, to be in torment forever, it's a long time, folks. It's scary to think about. When people die without Christ, there's never again going to be any relief. There is no more hope. There's no more opportunities. How do you deal with that? You know, even people in prison have a hope of getting out. They do. They all hope to get out. Is it the role of those who are saved? It is the role of those that are saved that's written in the book of life. In the army, each morning, early, real early, we would fall out and have to stand to be inspected. We'd have roll call. Brett, here. Tyner, here. Ellis. Where's Ellis? Go look, find Ellis. That's the way it worked. I wonder when we get to heaven, will the Lord call our names one by one? I don't know. The book of life is also mentioned in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. In 2012 and in Philippians 4 and 3. The same book is also called the Lamb's Book of Life because it contains the names of those who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 21:27 that we read, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or worketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only redeemed people can go into the New Jerusalem, our home. There won't be any break-ins. Amen? Won't that be wonderful? That verse also tells us that nothing will ever separate us from the New Jerusalem. No flood. No flood. No fire, no storm, no earthquake, no sin, no devil will ever separate us. The Apostle John writes, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world in Revelation 13 and 8. During the 7-year tribulation time that will come after the church is raptured out, all the peoples of the world is going to worship the Antichrist, except those whose names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And who are they? They're the ones that will get saved during the tribulation time. Because in Revelation chapter 7, there's so many people that's going to get saved during the tribulation time, after the church is raptured, they can't even be numbered. John writes in Revelation chapter 7. And you think about all the nations today, like in China and Russia, the Arab nations and other nations, of people that have no time for God. When those 144 Jewish evangelists goes out to preach, masses of people will get saved. Although myriads of people will be slaughtered and killed. And many of the saved will be killed as well, because it's going to be a horrendous time during that 7 years. Because God's going to pour out his wrath on the earth during that last 3.5 years of that 7 years. It's going to be an awful time. And you know what, folks? We're standing on the threshold of that coming about. When you look at our world conditions today and the attitudes of people today, there's so many people in our country today, they don't see the importance of being in church. They don't seem like they have a need for God. Because if they don't have a job, the government's taking care of them. What do I need God for? You need God for a Savior in Christ. And I tell you what, there's nothing like knowing the peace of God that I have today and the hope that I have today. Nothing like that. The Bible tells us when God loved us. God's love, mercy, and grace for man is seen before he made the world. God loved us before he made us. Sometimes you hear an expectant mother or father, oh, we can't hardly wait to get this little thing to love it. Well, God loved us before we came. into being. Before Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, God had already prepared a way for fallen man to be saved, because he knew what man would do with his free choice. You know, even the angels were tested. See, God respects angels and people. God wants us to freely choose to love and serve Him. We have the date of this act of love. It was before the foundations of the world. How long ago was that? Only God knows. Not only before God's people had a being, but before the world had a beginning. For we were chosen in the counsels of God from all eternity. So how far back did God contemplate bringing us into existence? It magnifies those blessings to a high degree that they are the products of eternal counsel. When the Trinity thought about the world and man, it was not an emergency provision in case man disobeyed God, but it is God with all sadness to bring redemption to the glory of His own eternal counsels in regard to man. Think about, while God planned salvation, how sad He had to be when He knew man would rebel. And God knew what He would have to do to rescue man. Think of the pain God suffered in knowing how people would reject and treat His Son, whom He loved so much. So God the Father determined that one divine person, by the way, would become man and remain man in His glorious condition forever. You see, Jesus was in the bosom of the Father in eternity past, but the divine council decided that one member would have to become man to pay for man, his sin. And that one man would remain man forever. And in heaven today, at the right hand of the Father, sits a man physically. And it is Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. This is awesome to me. What God went through to provide salvation for me, for you. Because God could not just arbitrarily overlook it because He's holy. How were the names chosen for the Book of Life? Did God put the names of the saved in the Book of Life because He would save them only? We've got scholars and theologians that believe that. That God just decided to pick out some and not others. Did God elect some to be saved and not others? Or did He put the names of those in the Lamb Book of Life because they would choose to be saved? Or is there some other way to be saved? What I want us to see today is God has a plan of salvation that was prepared before the foundations of the world, because he knew what man would do. He knows what you would do. And what you do is what you do, and he didn't make you do what you do. You do it of you do what you do of your own volition. What is so disturbing is that man, God's choice creation, would willingly disobey his creator, just like Adam did, just like I have. I have. Are you listening to God today? What have you done with Jesus, with God's Son Jesus, who died for every person? Think of this morning. No one can ever blame God if they don't go to heaven. God has provided for every person who ever lived or will live free salvation. It's my job and your job to tell everybody about it. That's our responsibility. People go to hell because they do not want Jesus Christ. And God will allow this to happen. God never had a plan of salvation for the angels of heaven. That's strange, isn't it? The only reason I could reason that would be why he didn't have a plan for them, they lived in his presence. You and I didn't live in his presence. But God has provided even his own Son to be the Savior of all sinners. God's plan of salvation would be effective by faith. By faith. Would this plan of salvation work? We must believe our Creator, that he is trustworthy. He cannot lie. He will not lie. He tells us the truth. I put on the sign out front yesterday two great words: truth and love. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever will believe in Jesus Christ can have salvation free. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The time you accept Jesus as your Savior, that quick, you have everlasting or eternal life. That means you're saved forever. No quibbling about it. These other people can get lost, they can have it. The Bible says you have eternal life the second you're saved. For and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. God has further planned that at the death of each person, listen to this, God has already planned that at the death of each person, they will immediately be in a place of bliss or torment. immediately if you was to die, you'd either go to where you put your trust. In Jesus, to heaven, or to a place of torment immediately. There's no such thing as soul sleep. That is, if you was to suddenly die, you would know nothing anymore. There's no such thing as that. No such thing as soul sleep. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, is what John said about believers. There's no such thing as a general judgment day, a day when everybody's going to be judged. There's no such day as that in the Bible. There's two judgment days. There's a judgment day for believers, and 1,000 years later, a judgment for unbelievers to see how we lived in this life. People that are conscious with the Lord are with the rich man in torments in Luke 16 at death. Conscious in one of the places. The place of their choice. Judgment Day will be separate for the saved who are redeemed and for those who were never saved. In either case, it appears that both saved and unsaved will live again in their own natural bodies. The saved will live in an immortal body that'll never die, and it'll be an incorruptible body. We'll receive that at the rapture of the church whenever that takes place. The unsaved is an immortal body. They'll live in a body that'll never die. But it'll be a corruptible body they'll be in forever. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that's made us acceptable to God. That's the only thing that makes us acceptable to God. Nothing we do or don't do. It's the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter 19 through 20, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God planned it before he made the worlds. Christ would die on a cross. Because that's what it would take to save me, to save you. That's what it would take. Nothing else would work. Nothing else would save us. And in our Bible studies on Wednesday night, we've been studying about how he was falsely condemned, how horrible he was treated, and how he was hung on a cross. And now we're about to study about his glorious resurrection. Because of his love for each and every one of us folks. Do you know how much you're loved by God? Do you ever think about it? How much you're loved so much he let his son die for you? And it's true. It's true for the worst among the human family. They were loved that much by God. To sacrifice Christ to suffer like he did. Only the blood of Jesus will wash away our sin. The Apostle John wrote, unto him that loved us and washed us. Think about this. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. Johnny read the scripture from Exodus And it talks about all under the law, what they had to do to worship God. And all that bloody religion. Now, Christianity is a bloody religion. That's true. But the blood was being splattered on the priest, sprinkled on the people at times. You know how hard blood is to get out of clothes. Takes a lot of tide, don't it? Or something. The redeemed are blood bought, blood washed, blood cleansed. Here are some of the most wonderful words the saved will ever hear that's been blood bought, blood washed, folks. Listen. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Don't you know you're going to be a happy mortal when the Lord says, come on in. Come on in. See what I've got for you. All because you accepted his son. Just because you accepted his son. Because you realized you were a sinner and you were lost. And you accepted his son. And he's going to say in the most beautiful words in it, the most wonderful manner with such love, come on in. Come on in, Miss Trina. Come on in, Evelyn. Come on in, Vashti. Come on in, Linda. He's going to call you. He's going to call us because we've been blood washed. And God's will, Paul wrote, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:4. In other words, now that he has saved us, he saved us to live holy and live in love. Love the Lord. Loving our fellow man. Think of the people today that don't know about the love of God. They've never experienced it. And I'm afraid there's a lot of church folks like that in some places. We do not like to be before him when we are not holy, do we? Don't you kindly hesitate to pray when you got something wrong in your life? It takes you a little while to get ready to really admit it. But when our conscience is cleansed by the blood of Christ, we're so happy we can talk to the Lord freely. We must find our happiness in being holy, living holy. Christ is our example. And as Christians, we are in a growing process. We're to grow in grace as we age physically and age in the Lord. We're to be in a growing process, becoming more like Christ, desiring to be like him. Now, it's a struggle to fight this old body we live in. And then we got an enemy besides that. Much of the misery of Christians today is they're not living holy before the Lord, and they're miserable. They're not really have peace or contentment in their lives. When God chose us to be saved, He saw nothing good in us. That don't go good with the public, does it? I tell you what, all these ceremonies, boy, so-and-so is such a wonderful person. Jesus said, there's none good. That settles it. That settles it. Now, where are you going to go from that? We better go to the cross. Because only He can make us acceptable. There's nothing good in us. Man may think he's good, but God sees man as vile, wicked, and lost. Every single one of us. And when I think about the Democrats, boy, sin can just boil at me. Maybe you don't have that problem. The preacher does. All the things they've made law in our country, taking prayer out, taking the Bible out, bringing liquor in, gambling, killing babies, gay marriages. They're the ones behind it initially. But I have to watch myself. Nothing good in us. That's why we need salvation. That's why we need salvation. Man must see himself as a lost sinner who needs the blood of Jesus to wash him. In closing, turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, one of my great scriptures, Brother Johnny. Ephesians chapter 2, written from a prison in Rome by Paul. For by grace are ye saved through faith, saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not your faith. It's the gift of God. Not of works, not of anything you can do, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to go prancing up before God and say, well, God, ain't you proud of how, aren't you just so proud of what I did to get here? No, nobody's going to do that. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We've been saved to do good works for the Lord. Amen? We're to live a life of good works, being a blessing to one another, to our fellow man. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. After we've been saved, we're to live a life of good works. Help that little old lady across the street. Pray for that person you saw side the road in a wheelchair or limping down the sidewalk. You can pray for them as you drive by. Be mindful of people that's suffering. They're all around us. They're all around us. Philippians chapter 4, turn there right quick. Another written from Rome in prison. I close with this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke feller, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Amen. You know, we as a body of believers here today, our name is in the Lamb's book of life. And we're to be laboring for the Lord. Amen? That's the reason we've got these different ministries our little church tries to share with other people. Whether it's the newsletter, the radio, the TV, our salvation box, our missionaries, all these different outreaches to try to help somebody find a way so their name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, the Lord already knew what we were going to do. So we need to be doing it. Amen? There won't be a contradiction. He'll have the true record. And the reason that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life is because of the work of the cross. The cross. Without the cross, there wouldn't be no names in the Lamb's Book of Life. It won't be long before Easter. Thoughts will be thinking about the resurrection. First the death, the burial, and then the resurrection. Think of all that suffering and that planning that God ordained to rescue me and you from our sin. And let's be willing to get involved in getting out the gospel. Let's be willing to share the gospel, to pray for one another, to invite people, to be a blessing to people when we can. Because there is books in heaven that's keeping a record of everything besides the fact that our names is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, how can we praise you enough for what you have planned for us, even before we ever came into the world. What a loving God. What a caring God. What a God of grace and mercy and goodness that would make sure that as a sinner, that'd be a way for me to be forgiven and cleansed and made acceptable so I could live in your presence forever. Blessed be my God, my Father. And bless these people of God as we worship you and praise you in this place on this Lord's Day. And remembering our brother with his loss and these others with their afflictions, we pray in our dear Savior's name. Amen and amen. May God speak to hearts. As the Lord puts on your heart, why don't you come this morning and give thanks to the Lord or praise to the Lord? Maybe you need to come this morning and just publicly give a testimony. Or maybe you need to come and trust the Lord if you've not really been saved.